This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about smoothies.
Smoothies.
I feel like this episode is approximately 40 years late.
I was thinking more like 30. No, little more than 30, huh? Yeah.
Well, maybe. Okay, well, we'll get into it.
Okay, we'll get into it.
Okay. This episode was suggested by listener Robin.
Thank you, listener Robin.
Thank you, listener Robin, indeed. Well, I just want to dive right down memory lane here.
Let's dive down memory lane. Okay. Memory lane has become a snorkeling attraction.
So, you know, of course, I remember having smoothies at home. I remember my dad maybe introduced me to them. I feel like he was the blender man in the
blender
household.
Man, yeah.
I mean, he made all the milkshakes in the house.
Sure.
Don't even start with the yard or, you know, bring in things to the yard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say don't even start on how, like, I feel like in one of our first episodes, we talked at great length about how upset you are when you hear the milkshake blender hit the edge of the metal cup.
I mean, like, God, I hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, okay. Anyway, we had like a wearing blender with a glass jar.
You know, we did how too,
these, yeah. And it had all these different buttons like chop and stuff like that.
Yes,
do you
remember
that
so well. How when you would press one button, the other one would pop back up.
Yep,
it was very mechanical.
That's right. And all the buttons seemed to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you have like number 10 liquefy?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember like wanting to press that button and my mom being like, no, we don't need to go that far.
Okay. Well, I remember making smoothies and I seem to remember that our smoothies at home were never as cold as I wanted them to be.
Okay.
But okay. So fast forward, but I really liked smoothies.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to like? And I do remember being old enough. So there was a certain point. So my mom had a twin sister who lived in the Bay Area. And I remember it being a really exciting thing when my cousin and I were allowed to go into San Francisco by ourselves.
Oh, yes.
From my aunt's house, we would take a ferry that would drop us off like near the Embarcadero.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
And then we would take a bus. And I remember it was a real adventure. And on one of our first outings in the city by ourselves, I remember my aunt told us about this health food store.
Sure.
We must have been maybe somewhere between 8th grade and 11th grade or something.
Yeah.
We took the 3 Jackson. I remember this was the bus we took to get to whatever street it was that where this health food store was. And I remember my aunt told us about it because she always thought of this as the place where you went to get smoothies.
Yeah, of course.
And you walk in and I mean, this place had definitely been around since the 70s. By this point, it's probably mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
This place had been around for ages and all the like the air in there smelled like it had been around.
Oh, yeah.
Since
definitely the health food store smell.
Yeah. 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 And I remember there was a counter at the back where you could go order things. Mm-hmm. we ordered a smoothie and it was disgusting. And I just remember it had like never before occurred to me that a smoothie could be made gross.
Like, was it disgusting because like it was made poorly or because it had like add-ins that you didn't want?
I think it had add-ins that I didn't want. And I mean, we ordered what seemed reasonable to us, but it just had a lot of other stuff in it and it was gross.
Yeah.
And I think that was my first understanding of the fact that like smoothie meant many things to many people.
Right. So I'm realizing now as I think about this that like as I was like adding stuff to the agenda last night and thinking about my smoothie life, like that I was only thinking about homemade smoothies and like smoothie counter smoothies and not thinking about like refrigerated grocery case smoothies.
Yes.
We need to talk about that also. So okay. My memory lane, I think probably starts with World Wraps on Broadway. Like, I'm sure smoothies before that.
Mid-late 90s.
Yeah, but like mid-late 90s, there was a chain, now defunct chain. There might still be like a one location left somewhere.
God, I loved World Wraps. Yeah. I thought it was the coolest.
Totally. Thing. Like, it was, you know, like when wife of the show, Lori, and I first moved to Seattle or like a year or two later, there was this place, World Wraps on Broadway, that was a wrap and smoothie place.
Yeah, because it like went hand in hand with Jamba Juice.
Yeah, totally. Right? It was definitely like, you know, they appeared around the same time.
Okay.
But Jamba Juice didn't have burritos.
Well, but they weren't related businesses.
No.
But where one was, you would often find
Absolutely.
The other.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. And I would be going to both at the same time. And I do remember Jamba Juice also. But World Wraps felt like a little more special because, A, they had burritos, which were pretty good, and that they were a local chain. And I wasn't sure if Jamba Juice was a local chain. Probably not.
Wait, World Wraps was a local chain?
Yeah.
Based in Seattle?
I think so.
Oh,
or possibly that I just like got that impression somehow and it was wrong.
Interesting.
But I think so.
I first encountered it in California.
Oh, okay. So I could be wrong.
Anyway,
it was they had good smoothies. Like it was all like pretty basic options. I think like I would always get the one that was the most similar to the smoothies I would make at home, which would be like strawberry, orange, banana.
Yeah. Well, so I just, you know, our longtime listeners will remember that I once worked at a smoothie place in Oklahoma City. Do you remember the name of my boss?
Ian.
Tony. So, I, you know, back to what I was saying earlier about how the smoothies that we made at home were always delicious, but never quite cold enough for me. Well, so I think that my brief stint of working at Celestial Smoothies.
Oh, Tony taught you the way of the smoothie.
Tony taught me the way of the smoothie. And so anyway, Celestial Smoothies was a smoothie place in a strip shopping center in Oklahoma City, just off May Avenue.
Was it related to Celestial Seasonings?
No.
No, because it would have been called Celestial Smoothenings.
Anyway, Tony, it was a one-man operation, and must have been a real passion project because I can't imagine it made much money for Tony.
Sure.
I think that Tony had Vitamix blenders, I now realize.
Sure.
He used all frozen fruit, including frozen bananas. So I remember one of my jobs was to take ripe bananas, cut them into, I think, halves or thirds, and freeze them, and then put them in our reach-in freezer.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because I wasn't actually sure whether frozen bananas were good in smoothies because, like, I have some bananas here that might not be quite ripe enough to be ideal for smoothies, and I was wondering, like, could I just freeze them?
Oh.
I don't mean, like, now since we're planning to make smoothies in, like, 10 minutes, and that probably wouldn't do very much.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, like, if I had a time machine and I could just use it one time, I would go back to yesterday and freeze these bananas.
Well, I don't know why you would freeze an unripe banana.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought maybe it would, like, you know, break the cell structure and soften it. But
I mean,
no. Maybe.
I don't think it's going to change the flavor.
What if we
though?
Just punch them a bunch?
Okay. Anyway, hold on. So, yeah, one of my jobs there was to peel and prepare bananas for freezing because, yeah, all the fruit that we used was frozen. And then we would add, I think he had a frozen yogurt machine in there, and there was always some sort of juice. Discovering that you should have all frozen fruit in a smoothie was somehow a real game changer for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it needs to be really cold.
Yes.
I don't want none of those room temperature smoothies.
No, and I'm a person who's very prone to brain freeze.
Oh, and you even
and
feel
I,
this way
even
about
I
smoothies?
I feel like it's got to be like so cold it hurts me.
Oh, I don't want it that cold.
No, I want to be hurt by smoothies.
Okay, okay. Anyway, oh, and then, of course, Matthew, I remember Jamba Juice, too. And I remember when I was looking at colleges, the fact that there was... So there was a Jamba Juice on campus at Stanford.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It was near whatever the student union building was. I don't even remember what it was called.
Sure.
What, that thing. But anyway, there was a Jamba Juice on campus.
What was the mascot of Stanford?
Cardinal. Okay, it's a color. It's called
the Cardinal Hole.
The Cardinal Hole.
That was the name of the student.
In other words, the deep red hole.
It was called the Cloaca.
Oh, there was also a tree. I mean, it could be the tree hole.
There was also a tree.
Well, no, but here's the thing. Like, the Stanford mascot. So the Stanford, like, you know, the sports teams are called the Stanford Cardinal.
Right. Okay. So your college was like my college in that, like, we thought we were too cool for a mascot.
But then we had, like, a dancing tree. So I guess the tree was the mascot, but
yeah,
anyway.
But so, like, the tree, when a tree and a cardinal love each other very much.
They go, there's a hole.
There's a hole.
Anyway, my big complaint about Jamba Juice, however, was always that they were so quick to throw, like, sorbet and frozen yogurt in there.
Oh, I thought, like, you were going to say something else.
Why did smoothies go from, like, smoothies suddenly became, like, a dessert?
Sure. And, I mean, to be fair, they were already a dessert because, like, you know, they're mostly sugar. But that makes it kind of official when you add frozen yogurt.
I'm fascinated by the fact that, like, juice has become such a thing when juice is even more just, like, straight sugar than smoothies. At least smoothies have, like, some fiber in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that was my little rant about juice.
Yeah. No, I went to Jamba Juice also. We would go to the Jamba Juice at the Whole Foods on Roosevelt.
Okay. They had one called Razzmatazz, I think.
I would get the Razzmatazz sometimes. Yeah. The thing I was going to say is that they always wanted to throw some kind of protein or nutritional powder in
spirulina,
there.
Spirulina. And I'd be grass.
like, hold the powder, please.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're going to talk about powders.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So we're going to make a smoothie here in a minute, but just for people who've been living under rocks, let's talk about what a smoothie is.
Oh, wait. I have one more little bit of memory lane, which is that we would buy, and sometimes still do buy, Odwalla smoothies in the grocer's refrigerator case.
Pasteurized refrigerated smoothies.
Yeah, and the ones we typically get are the Sea Monster or Strawberry Sea Monster. And the Sea Monster is, like, orangey, and the Strawberry Sea Monster is that plus pureed strawberry.
Yes, my kid loves those.
Yep.
I do feel like they taste really different, though, from a homemade smoothie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a whole different, it scratches a totally different itch.
Yep, okay.
So, okay, Wikipedia has a smoothie entry, which is where most of today's information comes from.
Okay.
All right. So, obviously, a smoothie is a beverage made by pureeing fruit in a blender. It usually has some sort of liquid in it, like fruit juice or a dairy product like milk or yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Wikipedia refers to that as a liquid base, but I feel like you only put as much liquid in as you absolutely need to get it blending. I don't want it to be the base.
I mean, which is true of milkshakes also.
That's true. Okay. Wikipedia mentions, like, ice cream as one of the dairy products that sometimes goes into smoothies. It also mentions cottage cheese.
That is
as a dairy product that people put in smoothies.
Okay, so to be fair, if someone did that and I didn't know about it, I probably wouldn't notice, right?
Yeah, I
unless
mean, I
it
do
was still
that,
had like the chunky cottage cheese texture.
I think the curds would probably go away. I mean, maybe we're missing out on something really good.
I don't think we are.
Okay. Anyway, but I'm just going to put this out there. If a smoothie has ice cream in it, I'm going to call that a milkshake. To me, that's not a smoothie.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I remember in the book Thoroughly Modern Milkshakes, like one of our all-time favorites here at Spilled Milk, right?
Is the sour cherry milkshake.
Well, but also he talks about in the book like why he doesn't have more than like a couple of recipes in there that contain banana because to him, as soon as a banana goes into a milkshake, it becomes a smoothie.
Oh, no, I think it has to do with ice cream, the presence of ice cream.
Yeah, because a banana milkshake is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, so we got that out of the way. Okay, so sometimes people add other things, obviously, like non-dairy milks, crushed ice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, honey people like to put in there, although I've always like felt like honey plus frozen fruit equals like weird stuff happening in your blender, but blenders are stronger than that.
Yeah, blenders can stand up for themselves. I mean, I think it depends on the blender. I don't know if the what was the brand of the ones we had as kids?
Waring.
The Waring. I don't know if that one. Or Oster.
The Oster. God, yeah. That's right. Okay. Of course, peanut butter and then nutritional supplements like bee pollen, spirulina, ginkgo biloba.
Sure.
Protein powder.
Yeah. I don't think they even know what's in those powders that they have behind the counter at Jamba Juice.
No, the people working at Jamba Juice definitely don't know or care.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, just to reiterate, we're not talking about juice here, which is like fruits or vegetables that are put through a juicer.
Right.
We are focused here on the blender.
Right. So like the fiber stays in the smoothie.
Well, yeah, which is why we drink them, for the fiber.
Exactly.
Yes.
So what was I going to say? I just completely lost my thought.
Fiber?
I don't know.
Juices?
Fiber. Juices.
Juicers.
Bee pollen. I was probably going to make a joke about bee pollen. I don't know.
Anyway, I also, Matthew, and this may be controversial.
Concentrate. I like to put orange juice concentrate in a smoothie.
Oh, okay.
Because that way you get all the flavor, but not as much water.
Got it. Okay. I also want to say that in this episode, I don't know, I didn't plan to talk a lot about bottled smoothies sold in supermarkets.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know what I associate that with now? I recently had to get some dental work done, and they gave me a bottled smoothie to drink, like, on my way out.
Oh, well,
which
that's
was
nice.
Which was fine.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about the history of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The history of Wikipedia.
Okay, so Jimmy Wales had an idea and like, I don't know.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get all the world together in peace and harmony to create information?
I'd like the world to get together and make the world's largest smoothie.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You go into the blender first.
Okay. Anyway, so let's talk about the history of smoothies.
Yeah, please.
So
I don't know anything about it.
As you might expect, the history of smoothies is in health food stores.
Yeah, okay.
Specifically on the west coast of the U.S.
I'm just remembering another smoothie memory. There used to be Rainbow Grocery on 15th, mm-hmm. right near where I live, and there was a smoothie counter there that I bet was a lot like the one at your place in San Francisco.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so health food stores in the U.S. on the West Coast started selling smoothies in the 1930s. I did not know there were health food stores in the 1930s. I wonder what they were called then, if they were like called health food stores.
I don't know.
And it seems that the reason, like what enabled these things to be made, is that blenders were invented around that time.
Okay, that makes sense.
So blenders date back to like the 1930s. And in fact,
back then they had a hand crank,
right? Mr. Waring was, I think, if not the inventor of the electric blender, he was one of the first, like, industrialists to make it. He was a railroad baron.
One of the first industrialists to make it, just in general.
What's the word I'm looking for? One of the first manufacturers? The first...
No, I like industrialists.
Industrialists are like Morgan and
Stanley.
Like the robber barons, aren't they industrialists?
We're going to talk about land barons in next week's episode.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. So, yeah, that was the 1930s. The term smoothie seems to have entered the scene in the 1980s. And this is possibly because of the business Smoothie King.
Never heard of it.
I've definitely seen it. I feel like in like mall food courts
that
or something.
That makes sense.
Anyway, Smoothie King was this business founded in Louisiana in 1973 by a guy named Steve Kunow.
All right.
Who was a lactose intolerant soda jerk.
Is that what it said on Wikipedia?
No.
Okay.
No, that's me. That's me putting,
oh, wow. Okay, good.
Putting Wikipedia into my own words because I don't plagiarize. Unlike some people who co-host this show.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're way better than I am at like paraphrasing Wikipedia.
I will
Wikipedia.
Say again. What?
Anyway, okay. So Steve... Our man Steve,
yeah.
was a soda jerk, but he was lactose intolerant, and so he began experimenting with smoothies.
Okay.
That's what Wikipedia said. So that he could actually drink some of his own concoctions. And he went on to found Smoothie King, which expanded across the U.S. and eventually was bought by a South Korean company in 2012. It's still in existence. And Smoothie King basically pioneered what we know today as like the smoothie business.
Okay.
And laid the foundation for other brands like Jamba Juice.
Interesting.
And stuff like that.
I've never heard of this brand
until
now.
Well, if you lived in New Orleans, you might be more familiar with this brand because,
why is that?
Well, for one thing, the brand was founded in Louisiana.
That makes sense.
But also in 2014, Smoothie King contracted with the New Orleans Pelicans basketball team.
All right.
To rename their arena Smoothie King Center.
Okay.
And the contract, I guess the original contract was for 10 years, so expires in 2024. But Smoothie King has an option to extend it through 2034.
So our listeners who are basketball fans like this whole time have been like, yeah, obviously we know about Smoothie King.
Smoothie
That's where
King
the Pelicans
Center.
Play.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, Wikipedia.
Question. Do you think they have a Jamba Juice at Smoothie King Center? Because I love me some Jamba Juice.
Wikipedia also wants us to know that, quote, the healthfulness of a smoothie depends on its ingredients and their proportions. Many smoothies include large or multiple servings of fruits and vegetables, which are recommended in a healthy diet and intended to be a meal replacement.
Okay.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Great.
So, I don't know, Matthew, before we get into talking about making smoothies at home, should we make a smoothie?
I think we should make a smoothie
at home. Let's make a smoothie at home. Okay.
I'm going to vote for my home since we're already here.
Okay, great. I brought my blender.
Awesome.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Oh, man, I'm really sad that we weren't just recording that.
Yeah, remember when we used to record in the kitchen and you couldn't understand anything?
Well, so we've made smoothies here. Let's see how it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good, right?
Very good.
So anyway, we used a couple frozen bananas.
Yeah, I wish you could have been in there with us because, like, the way Molly operates the Vitamix with its, what do you call, like, the pounder?
It's plunger.
The plunger.
It's wand.
Yeah, Molly operates the Vitamix wand in a way that is brazenly erotic.
Matthew got the giggles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's because you were pounding and you were, like, looking at me, like dead in the eyes.
Suggestively. Yeah. Yeah. You know how I do. So we started with frozen bananas. And to be honest, when I freeze bananas at home, I do not do it the way that, like, Tony used to do it, where you peel the banana, you cut it into chunks,
sure,
and then you freeze it.
You just fling the whole thing in there.
Yeah. When I have bananas that are more ripe than we are interested in eating, I just throw the whole banana into the freezer.
Me too.
And then I defrost it a little bit in the microwave so that I can, like, tear the peel and it will kind of, like, slither out.
Yeah, we've talked about this many times, yeah, on the show before about how that's our ultimate scary Halloween costume.
It's terrifying.
You know how they say, like, monkeys in the wild eat bananas, like, from the like pointy end, like the opposite
June,
end.
June cannot get enough of telling me this.
Right. So I think monkeys store their bananas the same way. They just fling them into the freezer with the peels on.
Yep. So I always put the bananas in first because the bananas are cold, but they're soft. Right. So it's like a good thing to have first against,
yep,
the blade. Then I add
first
my frozen fruits. I add strawberries, usually raspberries and blueberries.
I think A Tale of Blades and Bananas is going to be the much anticipated final chapter in Game of Thrones book series.
Yes. Matthew bought the berry medley because he
we had a raspberry problem.
Yeah.
Which was Molly told me to get raspberries, and my options for frozen raspberries were a giant 5-pound bag of local frozen raspberries that was like $25, or a berry medley that included like 3 raspberries for $4.
So anyway,
so I got the medley, even though I knew Molly would not appreciate
it. Oh my God. I hate the medley because it's like you can't control how much of each individual fruit you get. And because a smoothie needs like a thoughtful proportion of
it fruits. Sounds like you're a smoothie control freak.
I am. Anyway, but raspberries, strawberries, and blueberries. I usually use like a plain yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I used Strauss. Trader Joe's makes a really good like European style,
yeah,
plain
absolutely,
yogurt, much cheaper than Strauss. And then when I'm at home, I usually wind up adding a little bit of milk because I don't usually have juice at home. But I had you get pineapple juice,
yeah,
today.
Which is great.
I think I could have used even a little bit more. I like it when you can taste the pineapple juice in the smoothie. Have you ever Well, you don't make smoothies as much as
no,
I do.
No, we need to like reveal my my truth here, which is that I don't have a blender and haven't for many years. So it's been a long time since I've made a smoothie.
But you could make it in with an immersion blender.
I don't think it would really work.
Okay.
I think it would just get like all frozen fruits would just get like gum up the works.
Maybe. Yeah. God, this is pretty much the only thing I use my blender for.
Oh, yeah. That was the only thing we used our blender for. That's why we got rid of it when we got bored with smoothies.
Oh, sometimes if the strawberries aren't very good, it can taste really watery. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you add too many raspberries, it's too tart.
Sure.
So then I will add a little bit of maple syrup.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good. Oh, I have to say that the only exception, so this is pretty much how I always make my smoothies. The only exception to it is I will occasionally make the banana smoothie, which is an actual recipe from the Rose Bakery cookbook.
Is that the one in London?
Is it like breakfast, lunch, tea or something like that?
Mm. That's what BLT stands for.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, there's a Rose Bakery, I think, in London. There's one in Paris. But anyway, they make a banana smoothie that is basically banana, lime juice, milk, and plain yogurt.
That sounds good.
I'm not sure, actually, if there's milk in there. It might just be banana, lime juice, and plain yogurt. And it is so good.
That sounds great. We should have made that today.
The only thing is it's quite thin.
Okay.
Because the only fruit in it is really banana.
I mean, we could make that. We have all these things.
I'm content with this. But you know, that's one you could make with an immersion blender.
That's true.
Right?
It doesn't need to like crush a frozen blueberry.
So yeah, but Matthew, let's talk about this. Do you feel like, I mean, am I deluding myself in thinking this is a reasonably healthy breakfast or snack?
I don't really have an opinion on that.
Like, I mean, like,
we
don't talk about that here because that's a stupid way to think about food. But I feel like...
I mean, it doesn't have lead paint in it.
It doesn't have lead paint in it. I don't understand why we have to put, like, sorbet and stuff in our smoothies when we can make them taste perfectly good.
Yeah, I agree.
And not turn them into dessert.
I mean, I don't want to yuck someone who likes sorbet in their smoothie, though.
Oh, I do.
You do want to yuck that person?
No. No.
They're a listener you'd like to yuck?
Is there an acronym for that?
Yeah. It's Lily.
Lifty.
No, it's L-I-L-Y.
Oh. Where did
okay,
I get
this one goes out to all our Lilies.
Anyway, no, it's like, anyway, I think my thing is I do really like having smoothies for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And my kid and I like having them. Like,
I don't think you need to defend that.
Yes.
I really don't.
I think you're right.
I think that sounds great.
This world is so messed up. This world, like, I get so tired of being inside my own head sometimes.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, and I think sometimes listeners feel that way too.
Anyway, okay. Well, enough about that. But hold on. I want to go further here. So I really don't want vegetables in my smoothie.
I don't think I do either, although I've occasionally had one that I liked.
And I don't want people adding things to the smoothie to make it, quote unquote, healthier.
Yeah, I'm totally on board.
I don't want that. I don't want protein powder added. That makes it chalky.
Yeah, you can taste that powder.
I do not like that.
Parsley, I do like that idea. Oh, like, I love the taste of parsley.
Nice.
I mean, you put parsley on here.
Fine,
like,
okay.
Like spinach or kale, I feel that feels kind of like,
punishment.
You know, yeah, but I mean, I don't hate it. It just feels like, and I'm giving you this like jolt of like healthy goodness, and you're gonna taste the health.
Yes.
But parsley, like, you know, parsley is real tasty.
Pure pleasure.
Yeah.
Are we talking Italian parsley, curly parsley?
I usually get. We should have we done a parsley episode?
I don't know. Do you have any growing on the balcony?
We might.
Ooh, I have parsley growing at home.
Yeah, I think we do.
We should do a parsley episode.
We should do a parsley episode because, like, I always buy the Italian parsley, but I don't know if it's really better.
I do the same thing. I feel like maybe it's just a snobby thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want like spirulina, whatever that is.
How about chlorella? This is something I learned about from producer Abby.
What's chlorella?
It's another green thing you can put in a smoothie.
I just would rather, like, eat some green stuff later in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a big serving of sautéed spinach last night to go with some sausage sandwiches. That was real good.
June loves sautéed spinach, and I feel like it. Almost nothing makes me feel...
Like you're a good parent than watching your kid eat.
Yeah, than watching my kid just like chow down on a bunch of sautéed spinach.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I get that.
And when it truthfully has nothing to do with me.
No, it's all you.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
Peanut butter. You put peanut butter here. I do like peanut butter in a smoothie. I think that's really tasty.
I've never put it in there.
Yeah.
I felt like...
I don't think it goes as well with like a berry heavy smoothie.
But I think some people would say that like scratches a PB&J itch.
Yeah, I'm not a big PB&J person, though.
Oh, okay.
So I think you would love it.
Really?
Yeah. Try it.
My mom makes smoothies a lot and she puts spinach in there and peanut butter and protein powder and I think avocado, and all of that just feels like...
Oh God, avocado I don't like.
I know. But you know what the other thing is? So we've been talking about like North American, you know, tasty treat kind of smoothies, when in fact smoothies are... go by many other names in other parts of the world.
Listen to that. I mean, Molly thought this might be too much smoothie for me to handle.
Yes, Matthew.
Who's the smoothie king now?
I mean, for instance, who's the smoothie king now? Look out, Steve Kunow. Matthew, have you ever had fruit sherbet or sherbet? There are different ways of pronouncing it.
I have heard of it, but I don't think I've had it.
So it is a, I think it originated in Iran, but it is typical in sort of similar and related names throughout the Balkans, in Turkey, in India.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is like a fruit shake that's made of like fruit and ice blended together, is that a smoothie? Because I've had that like in like Thailand and Laos.
I was going to say, so yes, drinks that are blended up fruit.
Yeah, that's a smoothie, right?
Yeah, I mean, but then if we add ice cream, then I think it becomes a milkshake. But if it just has crushed ice, I don't know. I do think that's kind of a smoothie.
Yeah, because, wow, like when it's like 92 degrees and 100% humidity and you're like sitting by the Mekong River, there's nothing better than a fruit shake.
Apparently in South India, they do a similar thing with pineapple, like pineapple smoothies that are very like, you know, unadulterated, just like pineapple and ice.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
And then, of course, there is lassis mango lassi, maybe other types of lassi in India.
What if you took a lime and a coconut?
And you mix it all up?
You mix it all up?
Okay,
is that a smoothie?
That's a smoothie, yeah.
Okay. It seems like it should be.
Do you think then that like a blended margarita... No, that doesn't have any actual fruit
no.
in it. Okay. So yeah, there are a whole bunch of drinks that involve like blended fruit, sometimes yogurt, sometimes honey. I think that yogurt and honey often show up in a fruit sherbet.
Okay.
Anyway, there are tons of drinks like that around the world. We just don't call them smoothies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Matthew, I want to close with a thought.
Okay.
Like, why are there not good smoothie places anymore? Like, why are we all like, why is there like so much juice and so little smoothie?
Because
even Jamba Juice, it's hard to go into Jamba Juice and just get a smoothie that's like fruit and liquid and like yogurt.
Yeah. Just like you just go in there and say, just like, give me something with like liquid.
Yeah.
I think because it this is a food that like is gonna follow fads and trends, and like, you know, it's going to try and incorporate whatever the latest trend is, and also is gonna like, I mean, smoothies are kind of out of style, right?
Totally. Now so, it's all acai bowls.
It's all acai bowls. Have you ever had an acai bowl?
No, but June really likes them.
Okay, what goes into it? Is it like grains or?
I have only encountered them once, and June ordered it, and it was like. It almost looked like a blackberry sherbet,
okay,
or sorbet at the bottom of the bowl, and that was presumably the acai, and it was like, yeah, it almost looked like sorbet, like it was really frozen. And then it had some yogurt, some honey, granola, toasted coconut. But I don't really understand what form the acai is usually in, because isn't it sometimes like a smoothie and sometimes...
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should have somebody come tell us about acai bowls.
Okay, let's get an acai expert on
here. Great.
The most recent time I think that I've gotten a smoothie at a smoothie shop, it was at Emerald City Smoothie on Broadway. And we had just, like, been coming back from a trip, and we're coming back late, and I just wanted, like, some kind of snack.
Yeah.
Like, right as soon as possible. And a smoothie just sounded good. And it was good. Like, I did have to, like, you know, specify, like, I want something really basic. Mm-hmm. But it was tasty.
I think a smoothie is kind of a perfect after-school snack.
Yeah.
Like, I will often make a smoothie like this. And especially if I'm taking June to, like, some, you know, some activity after school. I'll make us each a big smoothie, put them in like some sort of insulated travel mug situation, and we both just contentedly sip our smoothies in the car.
Yeah,
like real Americans.
My nephew Jesse, who's two, drinks a smoothie all the time, and he'll like carry it in like a I think it's a Starbucks cup, but like a, you know, reusable cup with a really tight fitting lid that so far a 2-year-old hasn't been able to outsmart.
Amazing.
But that will change.
Oh, so Matthew, you're going to really like this.
Okay.
So when we went to Hawaii for spring break,
mm-hmm.
there was in this like shopping center near where we were staying, there was this juice place, and the signage, like the way that the logo worked, it looked like Juice LOL.
That's a good name for a juicery.
But it was actually called Juice 101.
Oh, I took Juice 101 in college.
Anyway, it was actually called Juice 101, but I love calling it Juice LOL. And so I made the whole family call it that. And we went to Juice LOL frequently. And I will say, Juice LOL, despite the fact that it does all sorts of newfangled things like acai bowls and whatever, will make you just like a regular smoothie.
You have to assume any smoothie place will make you a regular smoothie if you, like, you ask for it and you pay for it, right?
But
they've got the stuff.
But this place actually had, like, regular, like, non-frozen yogurt that they could put in there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is, maybe that's just a throwback to, like, quote-unquote health food store eras. But I do like that. Because I don't always want, like, frozen yogurt or sorbet.
So do you think this episode is going to bring back classic smoothies?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're a very popular show. And most people listen to us and
I think at least, like,
take their cues from us.
0.0001% of the pop. Maybe not even that much.
That's
like
still
a lot
radical
of people.
Exaggeration. Yeah. But we got a lot of lilies, is what I'm saying.
We got a lot of lilies. Listeners, we'd like to yuck.
Yeah. I mean, we may not have, like, the most listeners, but we got the most lilies. All right, so we move on to segments. I think we successfully smoothied. This was delicious. Thank you for destroying my kitchen.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Matthew, do you have a now but wow?
I do. And this was an article in Consumer Reports, or at least consumerreports.com, a publication that I did not know had excellent food writing, but they do.
I'm sorry. Go on.
And it's by Perry Santanichot. It is about the phenomenon of the Asian salad, which I'm putting in quotes.
Yep.
And this idea that there is a salad that you see on menus everywhere and see recipes for called the Asian salad that is not really a salad from any particular Asian food tradition. And the article investigates why is it called the Asian salad? Why is this problematic? And shares recipes for 7 really good actual specific Asian salads.
Those recipes look
so good. Yeah, and it quotes, it has a recipe and quotes a friend of the show, Pailin Chongchitnant from Hot Thai Kitchen, who we've had on a couple of times, and friend of the show, Ken Albala, food historian.
Hi, everybody.
So we will link to that in the show notes. It's a terrific article.
I forgot.
You got brain freeze?
Yeah, I got brain freeze. All right. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can also chat with other Spilled Milk listeners. You can talk about your favorite smoothies.
Yeah. What do you want to see in there? What do you want to see out of there?
Yeah. And what are you going to do to bring back the smoothies of yesteryear?
Yeah. We're on a mission, I guess.
And we're wishing.
And we're wishing
someone would improve our smoothie condition. Wait a minute. I never said Reddit. I never said Reddit. Oh, you can talk with other Spilled Milk listeners about how we're going to improve our smoothie condition.
Just in general, in the public forum.
Yeah, on reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
In the Agora. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg. What was that?
The Agora. It's like the Greek public square where you would like debate the issues of the day.
Is this related to agoraphobia? Like if you're afraid of being in the public square talking about smoothies?
Yeah, which I kind of am.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I'm actually drinking tea from my spilled milk mug.
Yay!
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.